In Jesus' name we come, and Lord, quicken us on tonight to want to know you more. Lord, to know you in the fellowship of your sufferings, in the power of your resurrection, and Lord, even being made conformable unto your death. Lord, that's what you're ready to do in us and preparing us, Lord God. Oh, for a better beyond, Jesus. Let us know these things, Lord God. And let us know tonight as we hear the word of God that, Lord, this is for our good. This is for our eternal good. And it's for our good right now. And Lord, just to believe you and to trust you completely, Lord Jesus, and understand, God, we're not from here. We're just passing through. As you said in the Word of God, we're aliens to this place. But thank you, Lord, for such a precious place that it is, that this is the place where, oh, Christ in us, the hope of glory is coming forth. Now, Lord, let us believe you tonight and receive these things. And every life that's here tonight, you brought us here to hear your word. And oh, how wonderful and powerful. It's the only thing that'll ever remain. Let us be in awe more and more of it even this evening. Let us just stand back and be in that presence of the mighty God. We thank you that you're here because we've gathered in Jesus' name. And thank you. In that name we pray. Amen. Praise his name. Well, let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight to the third chapter of Philippians. And going back to the 13th and the 14th verse tonight, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brother Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." And I always marvel at this after all the years that he had been witnessed and walked with God and encouraged in the things of God and the things that the Lord had brought to his heart and all, but the humility in this precious brother. Thanking the Lord that, you know, you talk about a testimony of, man, if I'm drawing breath, there's more that he's preparing in my life for him. More treasure, more inheritance to my father. And how wonderful and exciting this was to Brother Paul. But he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." And think how he marks out this one thing and how important this one thing that he wants to magnify here. And obviously, this is the Holy Ghost for our lives. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now how magnificent that we know we're in such wondrous portion of Scripture here that Paul, by the encouraging of the Holy Ghost, is pointing us to the midst of the throne, jointly ruling and reigning together with Jesus Christ. This is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But as many will say, yep, we're back here again. Yes, we are. And specifically where we're back again, where the Lord has drawn my heart, is right there in that 13th verse, that one thing, and the first part of the one thing, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, I know this can be a very love-hate relationship part of a verse. And what I mean by that is we love to forget those things we want to, but we sure have a hard time forgetting those things that we don't want to let go of. Amen? Come on. This is true. This wasn't for the guys that didn't come here tonight, but I'm sure it's for them too. But forgetting those things which are behind. And I don't think we could ever really grasp this enough. And we could never give the more earnest heed enough to this, which we have heard, lest at any time we should let this slip. Because this is something that can so easily creep back on us over and over that we don't want to let go of. But Paul is making a very profound statement here, this one thing. And what are we talking about in this context? This is what we talk about running. for the prize, running for his best to win him. And Paul, by the encouragement of the Holy Ghost, has brought this and narrowed it right down. Okay, here are the final strides, if you want to talk about it this way. Here's the one thing that's got to go down in our lives. We must forget those things which are behind. The importance of this instruction, brothers and sisters, this encouragement, this requirement, and I say that, requirement, in order for us to run well, in order for us to even reach forth to those things which are before, the things behind must be left. Our focus has to leave that, to look at the things which truly are before us, to really grasp those things which are before us, and to press on for the mark for the prize. This is a pleading. I believe it's a calling. I believe truly it's a command by the sergeant at arms to God's precious people who truly desire his eternal best. And I have to tell you, this is on my heart even more fervently than I believe ever before, that we cannot ignore this. This warning to not be entangled with the affairs of this life and to not be entangled with the cares of this life. And that's what the cares of this life are. And that's, again, which we'll address just for a moment. See, man wants to magnify past. He does. Just want to revel in past and then to bring up things in the past. That all of the past is going to define me. But see, if my past defines me, then I'm being defined pretty much as a natural man, which I'm not. This is the new man, which I am. And that's exactly what it is it's new. And it's new every day. And I thank God in that encouragement, if I really am into running for his best, I must forget those things which are behind. That means we must lay aside every weight, every indifference. And if we are waiting to do so, if we're waiting to do so because we're stuck with something in the past, God help us. I've been in this place before. All of us have been in this place, and we might be there tonight. I don't know. I have an inkling. There's things. As it said, there's things. But, brothers and sisters, I know and I can testify to you, sometimes we get comfortable in that place. And we like to be in that place because, again, that's our old nature. We like to feel sorry for ourselves. We like to hold grudges. We like to, I got to have my justice. All these different things. But we understand that that, again, is of the flesh. And oftentimes, us Christians, what we'll say when we're choosing to be stuck in that, well, I know the Lord will do it. Isn't that what we say? And I'm not talking about saying it in faith. Oh, I'm trusting God and waiting on him to do it. He's working on me. Now, I really want us to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, yes, that is the truth, but are we letting him? Are we letting him? And that's vitally important. I can tell you and profess absolutely that the Lord is working on me, but are we letting him work these things in us? Are we holding back these things? Are we using, again, these sayings that we say, oftentimes not in faith, as a crutch? Oh, my goodness. I believe sometimes in our lives we can say, well, I'm trusting God, and it just becomes some type of a slogan that I need to get over, especially in reading this verse, or I might just remain here after the coming of the Lord. Now, people just gloss over a lot of these things. I'm not going to do that. Paul said this one thing. And what if it is one thing that you're just holding on to? that causes you not to run. It couldn't be a worthful one thing, could it? Couldn't be a worthy one thing, could it? But somehow, some way, we in our natural man, in our natural mind, think somehow it's more healthy for us to hold on to our past, that we're dealing with this, that we're getting closure with this. I hear these words often. I understand you have to address things. Don't get me wrong. But once they're addressed, and you know where you address things? At the throne of grace. And you lay it on that altar, because we're talking about winning God's best. Man's psychology will cause you to stumble. It'll impair your run. And it will never have you looking ahead to the things before you, because you'll be defined and tied to the things of your past. Now, it's a sensitive thing, I know. But brothers and sisters, we have to get over sensitive, and we need to run. The Bible says, endure hardness as good soldiers. And all of us have. Some of us have had very difficult upbringings. Some of us have had very tragic childhoods. A lot of things, God forbid, that have happened in our lives. But was God not on the throne for you when that happened? I want to ask you that. Was he not always for you? Is his word not true? And we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you really believe that he knew you even in the womb? Can you imagine that? Do you think he even knew you before he set a star in heaven in his son? I believe so. I believe so. This is truth. This is healing, see? This is healing. So see, brothers and sisters, we know that when we believe him for this, and we truly are trusting God for these things in our life, it won't be just something we're saying, because faith changes us, doesn't it? Faith changes us. Faith changes everything. When we believe God, the word of God works effectually in them that believe. This will transpire in our lives when we believe God, when we let him have it. But I want to go on with now, in laying that, what really thrilled me about this word, forgetting. And I thank the Lord how powerful this word, forgetting, the definition of it is. It means oblivion. Oblivion. Now, oblivion is quite a word. It has a wonderful meaning. It's not only something not to be remembered anymore, or not only something that is completely destroyed, but oblivion means it's completely annihilated, it's unknown, it's as if it never existed. Now, did you hear that? Forgetting, oblivion, is as if it never existed. Now I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask myself, all of us here tonight, one more time, are we really running for the prize? Oh, Jesus, amen. It's the grace of God, isn't it? But see, brothers and sisters, we need to wake up to the word of God. We cannot get around this. This is things not only forgotten, not only forgetting those things, but they're even unknown as if it never existed. What do you think? We're still here on the planet. Okay, we haven't. We're not talking about something that doesn't exist. This does exist. This is the only thing that does exist, is the Word of God. And that is forgetting. See, this is what his life is in us. It's the same as his forgiveness, which is our forgiveness. Jesus Christ talks about how his forgiveness is forgiven, and it's even forgotten, never to be remembered again. Isn't that amazing? And that's the same life, again, that lives in us. But when we are embracing the things in our past, brothers and sisters, we're not letting go. When we embrace the things in our past and we allow them to keep coming up, they really are our idols. They're things that we worship more than we worship the Word of God. They're more important and more dear to us than truly believing the Word of God to run on. Jesus Christ, I'll tell you, he said, oh, you really want to follow me? You really want to pick up that cross? Well, go ahead and deny self. And brothers and sisters, what a benefit to us. What a joy and a peace in believing the Word of God, and especially this, that I don't even remember my past anymore. And you know how the attack of the enemy does is he'll bring others that want to remember your past to bring it back up. But then you look at them and truly say, I just don't even know what you're talking about. And I know that's not Christ in you that's talking that nonsense. They had to say that to a brother this week. What is it about? Is it about us identifying one another again in the things of the natural man? Or am I here to rejoice and truly give thanks to God for Christ in you, the hope of glory? I appreciate God and so thankful for each testimony of every vessel that we have here. But think about Brother Paul. I was rejoicing about that sweet brother. All the things that he went through and all of the things that experience transpired in his life and all of that. First of all, that wasn't the testimony that jumped from his mouth every time he spoke. He spoke the Word of God. But it was finally when he was pressed and it was appropriate that he started bringing things up about his past. But he said, yet that is all even dung. It's refuge. But for the knowledge of him, only to be found in his righteousness. So that tells you right there, you don't have any righteousness but him. So the only thing I want to be found in is this Word of God. Amen. Praise God. That doesn't mean that we don't have neat discussions and, hey, what'd you do this week? And all of that interaction that we have, that's a lovely thing. But I'm talking about when our past and things in our past or something that happened in our past becomes the idol of our life that we will not let go of. Then it becomes the one thing that's hindering us from running. And brothers and sisters, there's nothing more important than to run, and to run well, and to run to win him with the things that we have heard and seen and that we know in the Word of God. Oh, God, help us. Forget those things which are behind. And what a treasure and rejoicing it is. And each and every one of us, as we've gone on with the Lord, we know that he's delivered us from those things. I can't remember those things, a lot of them. And I mean that very sincerely. And even when my mind tries to go back, I just thank the Lord and it just stops. I don't want to dwell on that. I want to dwell on this. I want to talk about, praise God, the things that are before us. Hallelujah. Those are the things that we need to rejoice in. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. I know that ones can hear this and sit here and either we can listen to this or we can listen and squirm. Or we can decide not to listen to this and get angry. We can disagree. We can be offended. But I thank the Lord that, you know what, he taught me a long time ago as he brought me into the place to give out the Word of God. When I preach the Word, you're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, you'll have no case against the Word because you cannot stand against the Word of God. You can't. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to discern right down to the intent of you. And I'll tell you what, By the grace of God, we really need to take this all-sufficient grace. And what it comes down to is he gives grace to the humble. We need to quit of our pride. And oftentimes pride can even be blanketed in sorrow. It can be blanketed in bitterness, whatever it may be. But we need to let God and let the mind of Christ reign in our lives. And these are things that we're going to be coming up against time and time again in our lives. And that's why we go boldly to the throne of grace. We need that grace. We need the grace of God to believe the word of God, to have the word of God performed in our lives. Amen. And that's exactly what the Lord is encouraging us here through Brother Paul. But we need to be sincere and honest before the Lord in his word. We need to let the scripture, and especially the scripture tonight, search us. If it's Christ my bridegroom that I hope to apprehend, I cannot be apprehended by those things that are behind me. I cannot. And this is vitally important to us, brothers and sisters. It's not just moving on. It's pressing on. It's the love before you that becomes so captivating that there isn't anything else. Your vision, the enlightened eyes of your understanding is, praise God. And I thank the Lord for the reality of it. It's exciting as you grow older. And I thank God. I guess I'm not an old man, but I'm getting older. I thank God how quickly I understand this life passes. How fragile it is and how frail it is. And again, it is but a vapor. It's grass that grows in the morning and it's mowed right down. And you think about man and all, you know, here we are in the 21st century. Tell me what happened, you know, really great even around, you know, in the 1950s, the 60s or whatever. Oh, and there's some that can. Okay, well, let's go back to, let's take 1380. There's some really important things going on there. Amazing. 1225. Oh, I'm sure there are people walking around that this was it, and this was the most vital things, and we've got to remember these things, and this is what... You see, what I'm saying is it's meaningless. It's gone. The only thing that will abide and remain forever is this right here. This is it. This is it. Isn't it wonderful to know that? That this is our praise, and this is our glorying, and this is our life. And it puts it in perspective so sweetly and wonderfully is, you know, Lord, don't let me be entangled in this life. And I've testified to you how, I mean, I love my children, but I know that there was a battle for me not to be entangled with my children, not to be so in care for them that I didn't trust God for them. You know? Appreciate how brother prays and sister, you know, that all we want is the awakening in our lives, the urgency to run. Well, what we're reading about tonight is one of the greatest urgencies to really run this one thing. It's got to be left behind, forgotten, oblivion. Because that's what it is in the mind of God. You know, if I'm going to have a conversation with the Lord, I want to be able to visit with him something about that he knows. You know, I sit on his lap and I tell him about how bad you were in there. He scratches his head. What are you talking about? Kind of looking like I'm nuts. What mind's reigning? Amen. How kind. Sure, we say we're sorry and mean it. And we go to one another when we've wronged one another, and we say, "Oh, I'm terribly sorry." And I would take it back if I could, but you know what? That's done. And I have to look to Scripture and believe, you know what? He's going to work it together for our good. And I want to run, and I want to run well. And if I'll run and you'll run, we'll run together. Isn't that something? How beautiful that is. And I've always thought, as such a precious place that we have, so compacted and tightly fit, brothers and sisters. I mean, I've said this, and I don't mean this except just to magnify God. Things that have happened in this meeting, in lives and in families and all, whether it divorces and things of that nature, yet people still all come. I've talked to people about that kind of a thing before. What do you mean? What kind of church is that? We run. We run well. And it's a magnificent testimony. It's magnificent. Now obviously, we fight. We fight to make the right decisions, the godly decisions of faith that God gives us today. But what happened yesterday, I've got to run on. I've got today. And how marvelous it is for people that maybe have been condemned and kept locked in things by other folks and other Christians. They said, well, you can't, you know, you could never attain. And you've got to sit back over there in the corner. Matter of fact, you can't even come here till you denounce this or say that or whatever. That's nuts. That's beyond nuts. That's just hate. It's anti-God. It's anti-truth. Forgetting those things. And the Lord help us and people that have hurt us the most and things that have hurt us the most. That, yes, when we meet them, I don't care if they're thinking about it. By the grace of God, I'm not. By the grace of God, I'm here to embrace, rejoice, and to say, I love you. I love you in Christ. It's not me that loves you, but it is Christ in me. And that's the life that lives. I don't want to take any credit for that because that's the Lord. See, it has to be to His glory. It's His doing. It's His workmanship. What credit could I take? I don't want to take any. I don't even want that little pinky nail to be able to cut credit. But somehow, some way, sometimes we got to feel that we did something. But I praise God. He does it all. But I need to let Him. Just to let Him do it. And to let Him, praise God, take these things. Brothers and sisters, these things that are behind are as dead as my trespasses and sin. Do you understand that? They're as dead as the trespass and sin. They are. It's forgotten. It's that oblivion as if they never, ever existed. Think about that. My sin is in the sea of forgetfulness. We talk about justified and we say, just as if I never sinned. Isn't that amazing? Well, what's the difference with forgetting those things? Which is if they never happened. We give God the thanks for the tents of Kedar. Absolutely. But that's not my praise. My praise is the curtains of Solomon. My thanksgiving is the man I hope to be. Amen. See, again, man is all about his past. Man is all about his happenings. Man is all about his trophies. Man is all about telling you your defeats. But Christ is all about the new man. The old man's dead. Now we're back in the past again, aren't we? But He's talking new. New man. And Christ is new every day. Why do you think it says as we close in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, He said all. So everything that concerns me is all new. All new. And I praise God for that salvation that truly is new every morning. Live the new man. God help us to not dwell in our old nature, because it'll rob us. of his very best. I pray that encourage you tonight. And we will. Even if tonight you can praise him and thank him that, Lord, you've taken these things from me. We'll be combated with it. Oh, there'll be a continuing fight, that good fight of faith. There'll be instances that arise. Oh, yes, there'll be those that gnash their teeth in front of you, maybe even tomorrow. But I hope by Tuesday you forgot about it. I thank the Lord because that has to be by God's grace in our lives. And it has to be in my life or I can't preach to you. I can't. And I battle with it every week because it's the good fight of faith. It's a precious thing. But he knows the way I take. And I sure love the host that he surrounded me with. Praise be to God. Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed.